Dinosaurs intrigue us at any age. Images of huge reptile-like creatures roaming the earth fill our imaginations. But what do dinosaurs mean for Christians? Do they fit with the Bible, or were they just the result of evolution? Stay tuned.
Each basic type of dinosaur appears in the fossil record fully formed, no ancestors and no transitional form.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. Dinosaurs, more than just about any other subject, seem to be a stumbling block for Christians. That's because many have been taught that these great creatures evolved early in Earth's history and then went extinct 65 million years ago. Since these ideas conflict with the Bible, it's left many Christians confused. I invite you to stay tuned for the next 15 minutes as we present dinosaurs from a biblical perspective. We'll talk about when they lived, how they might have died out, and the lesson we can learn from these great creatures. But first, is the word dinosaur even mentioned in the Bible? Well, according to Dr. Duane Gish, author of the book Dinosaurs by Design.
Now, of course, we don't find the word dinosaur in the Bible, and of course the reason is very clear, because fossils of dinosaurs were not discovered until about 1820, and the word dinosaur was not even invented until 1840. And of course, we remember the Bible was translated into English in about 1600, over 200 years before these fossils were discovered and before the name was even invented. So, of course, we don't find the word dinosaur in the Bible.
But even if the word dinosaur isn't in the Bible, it's very possible that they are mentioned. Dr. John Morris is a geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research.
I think dinosaurs are mentioned in Scripture. In fact, in the creation chapter, Genesis chapter 1, in verse 25, on day 5, it says God created great whales. In the King James, it says whales. But that word whales is actually the word that everywhere else is translated dragons. And maybe that's what we're looking at here. God created these dragons. I mean, these great reptilian beasts, we have legends of them from every culture almost from around the world and every continent. And maybe those the dragons are really the dinosaurs.
As a matter of fact, dragon legends have been handed down for centuries by many different cultures. Could it be that these legends were originally built on actual eyewitness accounts of human encounters with dinosaurs? This idea separates the evolutionary view from the biblical one. Evolutionists claim that dinosaurs went extinct millions of years before mankind existed. But the Bible says that they were created right alongside of man. Dr. Gish.
First of all, we recognize the fact that, as described in the Bible, dinosaurs and all other creatures were created by God during the 6 days of creation. They were created on the sixth day. Now, that means, of course, that dinosaurs were not on this earth, as evolutionists believe. The evolutionists will tell us that dinosaurs were on the earth from about 230 million years ago, something like that, to about 65 million years ago, and that they, of course, evolved by some natural means.
But evolution falls short in explaining the different varieties of dinosaurs that we've discovered.
We have horned dinosaurs, we have plated dinosaurs, we have duck-billed dinosaurs, we have dinosaurs with spikes on their tail and things like that, great variety of dinosaurs. We have many of their fossils, but one thing we do not have is a single transitional form showing the gradual evolutionary origin of horns or of duck-bills or of these other distinctive features. Each basic type of dinosaur appears in the fossil record fully formed. No ancestors and no transitional form, just as we would predict on the basis of creation and the biblical record.
It seems that the Bible has a better explanation.
One of my visits to the British Museum of Natural History in London, they had an incredible display of dinosaur fossils from all over the world. I went through that entire exhibit looking to see if I could find one single transitional form, and there was not even one in that great exhibit. I think that is eloquent testimony to the fact of creation of the dinosaurs.
According to the Bible, God created dinosaurs during creation week. But then, where did they all go?
The popular theory on the extinction of dinosaurs today is that an asteroid struck the Earth and threw so much dust into the air that it blacked out the Earth for several years. As a consequence, almost all of the plants died. Therefore, the plant-eating dinosaurs died. And consequently, the meat eaters who ate the plant eaters, they died, and that was the end of the dinosaurs.
But that's not what we see. The fossil record tells a different story. Dave Phillips is a professor at Master's College and has done much research on dinosaur fossils.
What's most fascinating is when we find dinosaurs, we tend to find them in large fossil graveyards, and these fossil graveyards are always water deposited worldwide. And it doesn't matter whether there's numerous species of dinosaur or single species of dinosaur groups. We find these in great masses, some of which contain up to 10,000 individual specimens in one location, all deposited by water. If water is the agent that deposited dinosaur remains, then they must have died very quickly in order to be buried over and fossilized in that manner. If they were buried over and fossilized quickly in that manner, that must have been a result of a catastrophic event.
With a worldwide flood, many dinosaurs, as well as other animals, would be killed instantly and buried by large deposits of mud and then fossilized. The flood of the Bible provides an excellent explanation for the millions of fossils that we now find. It would also explain many of the dinosaur graveyards. So, did the flood kill all of the dinosaurs? According to Dr. Gish.
Now, we believe dinosaurs survived the flood since they were land-dwelling, air-breathing creatures. The Bible tells us God brought two of each kind of land-dwelling, air-breathing creatures to the ark to be placed on the ark. And these were, of course, of that kind, so they must have survived the flood. However, they came out into a world that was vastly different than the pre-flood world.
It seems impossible that some of the large dinosaurs could have fit on the ark, but actually, it is plausible.
First of all, about putting dinosaurs on the ark, I don't believe God put a couple of 50-foot-high brachiosaurus dinosaurs in the ark. I think he put a couple of baby ones, small ones, or juveniles, which would not, of course, cause much of a problem to contain those dinosaurs. Now, calculations have shown, if you assume there were 40,000 species of land-dwelling, air-breathing creatures at that time, today there's about 20,000 species of this kind of creature. If there were double that number, 40,000, their average size actually was the size of sheep. Some were larger, of course, but many were small, like rats and mice and lizards and things like that. If you calculate their total space required and the space available in the ark, they could be accommodated on about 40% of the space on the ark. So there was no problem of putting those animals on the ark and keeping them housed for that 1 year that they spent on the ark.
And it's interesting to note that Job, who lived after the flood, mentions creatures that seem like dinosaurs. Dr. Morris.
In fact, in the book of Job, where God is talking to Job about some real animals that really existed, he actually describes two animals that seem to fit our understanding of dinosaurs better than anything else. He talks about behemoth, a great land-based animal that the description of it sounds an awful lot like these brontosaur-type creatures. And then in chapter 41 of Job, he mentions a creature called Leviathan, which evidently can be in both land and sea. God tells Job, look at Leviathan, he can even breathe fire. Now that may make our legends of fire-breathing dragons sound more realistic.
So if some dinosaurs survived the Great Flood, why aren't they around today?
Scientists have found fossils of dinosaurs on the north shore of Alaska above the Arctic Circle. They found fossils of dinosaurs in Antarctica. Now, obviously, dinosaurs could never live in that area today, so it's equally obvious that the climate of the Earth has changed drastically. Now, evolutionary geologists do not know why that has happened. We believe that it has happened as a result of the flood. The dinosaurs, after the flood, came out into the world that's vastly different than the pre-flood world. Now, the Arctic and Antarctic areas were very cold and frozen. Vast desert areas and little vegetation initially. And so they simply failed to repopulate the Earth. And of course, that's true of many other species. Thousands of species have failed since that time. Others have become extinct because of the catastrophic effects of the flood. So they did exist, they did survive, but they failed to repopulate the Earth.
Evolutionists claim that dinosaurs support the idea of evolution, yet they continue to search for an explanation for their extinction, like a catastrophic asteroid impact. But we would say that the Bible has a better explanation. Why? Well, according to Dr. Gish.
Well, I would say, first of all, look at the biblical record where it describes about dinosaurs. If there had been a great worldwide catastrophe that destroyed the dinosaurs, as evolutionists believe, it certainly would be there in the book of Genesis. We do not find that there. The worldwide catastrophe we find is the flood. And we find the record of the dinosaurs, or description of dinosaurs, in Job chapter 40. And so we want to look at the biblical record. Then we want to look at the scientific evidence. Is there evidence that dinosaurs gradually evolved from some other creature? Is there evidence that these unique features that we find in many dinosaurs gradually evolved as required by the theory of evolution? We do not find that evidence. They all appear fully formed with no evidence of ancestors in transitional form. Now, that is remarkably in accord with the biblical record. So let's stick by the Word of God. God did what he said he did.
Dr. Morris.
You know, I really like to talk about dinosaurs at our creation seminars because you can use this high-interest subject to capture people's attention, particularly kids, but kids of all ages. I mean, everybody loves dinosaurs, but you get their attention using dinosaurs, and then you teach biblical truth. You can talk about the majesty of God in creation, the variety of the different creatures that he created, but you can talk about how creation was very good, sinless, deathless at the start. But then sin ruined that very good creation. Sin ruins everything. And it even ruined creation and the dinosaurs. They begin to die along with everything else in creation due to the penalty of sin, which was death. They especially died in the flood of Noah's day, which was a punishment of sin. That very sinful, wicked world in the days of Noah was punished by that flood of Noah's day. Some of the dinosaurs evidently survived, but they've gone extinct since. A lot of animals have gone extinct since. But of course, Jesus Christ came to die. The Creator stepped back into creation to live a sinless life and to pay that death penalty so that we don't have to pay it. The Creator paid the penalty for our rebellious creation. And you can use dinosaurs to teach about Jesus Christ and his work on the cross.
As our program comes to a close, we hope that you've been built up in your faith. If you'd like to learn more about dinosaurs from a biblical perspective, we'd like to send you a free audio cassette called Dinosaurs and the Lost World. Just ask for the free Dinosaurs and the Lost World cassette when you get in touch with ICR. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7-GENESIS. 1-800-7-GENESIS. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. I am Chris O'Brien for the Institute for Creation Research. Thanks for tuning in.